Yeah, let's start
All right.
the show.
Fuck it. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another segment of. Damn, I forgot what the fuck we were doing. Oh.
Boy, Cash from the blind side.
Come on, man.
My
look
man,
who you're with. Look who you're with.
I know.
Boy.
My mind. For whatever reason, my mind just was gone. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right.
Boy, if you don't know, we don't either.
Here we go.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another segment of Tales from the Blind Side. I got my brothers Jamal Jackson and Todd Harriman's with me again. Man, we're just going to get into this Steelers game, man. I mean, you know, what the fuck? You get Carson, he comes out here, he has a solid game, and you know, here we go again. You know, it's Jordan Mailata's next start. They're on the road. You have a couple fans in the stadium, you know, just all of that playing into it. And here we go again, you know, another loss. So talk to me, man. How did you guys see this thing?
I'll start off with this one because, to be honest, I wasn't expecting much out of this weekend. You know what I mean? And we got an exciting football game with hope of victory at times. And excitement at times. And, you know, from what I could tell, pretty decent production from the offense. And I think that that's a bright spot, you know, seeing how depleted they were, who's been hurt, how much time they've had together, stuff like that. I think that played into it. I think that the sour taste from this is kind of, you know, I think it what boils down to it is an immature defense playing a veteran quarterback who just kind of like took care of them, you know, and got the mismatch, confused them, you know, got the matchups he wanted and took advantage of it, you know.
Yeah, he got more than the matchups. I mean, Buddy was out there telling the receiver what to do, like at the line of scrimmage. Like, how do you pick up on that? Like,
bro, he was
you got a linebacker. Covering a receiver that has 3 touchdowns. And what defense is that allowed?
Hey, run like, faster than that guy, real quick.
I mean, I know he's a rookie and all, but yeah, defense was kind of a letdown this week. Offensively, it's something they can hang their hats on, even with the line being depleted as it was. And, you know, y'all know what we were saying, man. If Lane out on the sideline, man, it's an L. So
I texted you guys, I said it's over.
he got carted off, so you know that's not a good thing. But I mean, I thought Jordan Mailata played good. You know, he gave him some pressures at the end, but for the most part, you know, he had a solid game. And I thought the with you know the blitz packages that Pittsburgh likes to implement, they kind of in the first 3 quarters they held their own. You know, Carson wasn't under crazy duress. I mean, there were some plays in there where. You know, he tried to evade a rush or duck up under a sack or whatnot. And, you know, it wasn't like the guys got beat clean. You know, it was more or less good coverage on the back end. So, you know, from a Lions perspective, I thought they held up given the fact that they were, like, young and pretty much inexperienced.
Yeah, because when you go and you look at the box score, you see that they gave up 5 sacks, what, 11 quarterback hits. I know all of them weren't on the offensive line, but one of the things I noticed is that there were a couple of times – where they only sent 3 defensive linemen and they dropped everybody else back in coverage. So now, you know, you had 1 or 2 sacks that came off of just 3 defensive linemen being rushed. That's a problem because, you know, there was one where the guy got pushed on Kelsey and then that was Hayward that got pushed on Kelsey and ended up getting a sack. And then I believe there was one other time where he split between Matt Pryor and Jack Driscoll, and that you know they weren't together on that particular rush.
Yep.
So I felt like just going into this game that, like you, Todd, I really didn't expect a lot from this game. I knew that this going into this that this was going to be a game that we would possibly lose just because of what the Steelers bring to the table with their defense, but I think our offense did battle. But man, I mean, you know, when you get to a situation where you want to see the team pull out this win, I really don't know. So let's see this. When you go back and you watch this game, do you feel like Jordan Mailata, do you feel like the Eagles have found the left tackle in Jordan Mailata?
Yeah, I think so. I think for the time being, he's a great – I don't know if he's going to – I don't know if he's going to develop into the cornerstone of the franchise, but I think as an interim left tackle, I think he gets the job done right now.
Yeah.
I actually do. Like, because early on, you know, you kind of expected, like, the games, the twists, the stunts, the guys off the edge. He handled that pretty well. Like, they didn't call his name at all until, like, the fourth quarter when he gave up that precious sack. So, you know, for the most part, going up against a 3-4 defense, he showed himself, like, pretty well, you know, being as though, hell, the guy's just learning the game of football and he's only been over here for 3 years. So, I thought he showed himself well. Now, the rest of the line, I mean, you know, Kelce kind of showed his age, but then again, he went up against Cam Haywood. Like, dude's an all-pro. Kelce's an all-pro, so that's kind of like a wash. But on that one, yeah, he did kind of get, you know, kind of drove in the quarterback's lap a little bit to give up the pressure. But, you know, that's to be expected. Kelce's, what, 170, 180? And Cam is like 310.
Yeah, 280, you know.
So, you know, I mean, you got to expect some pressure up the middle every now and again, especially against a 3-4 when you got a head up nose.
Yeah, I just feel
and,
like.
You know, and I felt like.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Go ahead. No, it's on you. It's on you, Ty. Go ahead.
I just feel like you guys remember what it was like when you have one guy out and then the backups out there and the flow is just not the same. Kelce's out there with four backups. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're,
it's got to be weird feeling out there at times. The communication has to be off, I would imagine. He can't have all the calls coming properly down the line and echoed and seeing all the movement properly and being able to stay on the same level and all that kind of stuff that you get through just the reps with everybody. And so, dude, the fact that Lane's out and questionable and, you know, in and out and stuff like that, that kind of hurts it too, because you just need to get a five you can ride with out there.
Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly, you know, because, you know, as a center, you got to give all the calls. And I could just imagine Kelce going, okay, Mike 55, L to the right, slip backside, and fan out. Like, it's a lot of shit you got, like, when you got young guys. And when Lane went out, oh, man, I already know, hey, man, y'all got the swap on this backside. We're going to double A this front side. We're going to go up and hit this Mike linebacker, and let's just go for it because it's too much experience on the line.
Jack, you used to be able to help us out when we were in trouble out there. Like, you used to be able to help us out, slide to somebody if they were banged up or if we had somebody young out there, you know, extra protection that way and stuff like that. But what's he going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like pick which guard you want to help, basically. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's tough. And especially when you, like you say, you have a line that has so much just inexperience amongst the group and, you know, then you have Jack Driscoll coming in as an extra blocker on times. I mean, a lot of times I saw that they put Rodgers, one of the newer tight ends, on Watt a couple of times just in protection. So, you know, it was just, you know, they kind of tried to change it up. I thought that Wentz played a solid game. You go back and you look at the two, you see that he threw two interceptions. But I felt like overall he played a really good game, you know. I think that you found a receiver in Fogum. I mean, you know. To go out there, and now, there were times that he looked for – Fogum went out there and had a big game. I mean, you know, let's see, 10 receptions for 152 yards. Man, that's a beautiful day at the office right there. 13 targets. I mean, you know, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you want to see out of a receiver out there bringing something to the table. You know, even Hightower getting involved in it, Greg Ward. Now, I did feel like once we were going into halftime, you know, when you had Hightower, he didn't get out of bounds on that particular play. So he caught a pass, and he didn't go out of bounds. So now the clock is ticking, and then now you get a pass to damn J.J.
Oh, man. I knew it was coming.
We have to talk about J.J. Ortega-Whiteside.
Yeah, I swear, dude. He's like their only draft pick that gets useless stats. Like, how can you use that? The time is winding down. You know, I do think, I guess his route should have been geared towards more to the sidelines, being as though it was already an incredible catch, and you know the crowd and the you know the fans has been on him for like a year and a half.
Oh, he was hyped. You know he was hyped.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And to find out, like, it was like all for naught. that's so bad and embarrassing, man. Like, well, I just feel
for the- He was probably so hyped that he forgot the entire game situation. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
He did.
He was like, forgot the complete moment he was in. And yeah. He was just like, yeah, fuck y'all.
You see that shit? You see that bitches?
You see that shit? I caught that fucking ball.
Yeah. And he caught the ball and he wanted to celebrate. And like, first down, bitches, you see this shit? And then next thing you know, you're like, wait a minute. Hold on. I still have the ball. Hey, Kelsey, here, take this motherfucking dog. I need this shit.
Hey, he was like, fuck you, pay me. I caught that shit.
Hey, I caught it. I caught this thing. Yeah. Hey, hold on. Here, Kelsey, here's the ball again. I need you to snap it again because I did catch it. Here we go.
Well, I know he went to the sideline. Like, hey,
run it back.
It wasn't awful. Y'all ran out of timeouts.
And the ref was standing right there like, dog, get the ball to the referee. First of all, Hightower should have gotten out of bounds. That's a rookie mistake. You should have gotten out of bounds on his play. So he gets tackled in bounds, clock's ticking. Then now you get, which I think they had to call a timeout somewhere in there. And then you have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside gets the catch. It's super excited that he caught the ball. Oh, my God. He's screaming on the inside. And he gave the ball to Kelsey.
He's screaming.
Yeah, but you know, to his credit, you did see the block he had on Miles' first touchdown, right?
Oh, of course. Like,
yeah.
That was a nice block, bro. He wasn't getting in the zone unless he got that block. So, let's give him one positive here.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Yeah. That was good. I mean, there you go. Good job. You had a great block, and you had a catch. Good job, J.J.
Arcega-Whiteside.
They need to stop wasting his reps on offense and just put his ass as a gunner or one of those personal protectors on special teams because – that was some hell of a blocking that they did on that touchdown run. Like, I think it was him and Watkins was down there, the other one of the other rookie receivers or whatnot. Mm-hmm. They did some great blocking on that long touchdown run, and you know, it just seems as though the running game was going to be a factor after that play, and it was. I think Miles gained like 8 yards on like 6 carries after that.
Yeah, dude.
So,
like,
you know,
if you
even
take
though
away Miles' 70-yard run. They only had 24 yards rushing. No, yeah, because Miles rushed for 70. His touchdown was 74 yards. They finished with 94 yards for the day. You know what I'm saying? So if you take away that 74 yards touchdown, you only have 20 yards rushing. Now, going up against the Steelers, I mean, you know, they were number one against the run, only giving up 59 yards per game. I mean, you know, so, but 20 yards for the day?
It wasn't 20 yards, though, Trey.
I know. It was 94, right? It was 94.
Hey,
so
you guys remember, we used to grind away play after play hoping for a 70-yard one to break so we get over 100 clean for the day and just hang it up and be like, hey, we did our job.
Hey, we got 100 yards rushing, dude. There it is right there. But you know Big Red, we're going to air that. Hey, we're going to air that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, 94 yards rushing total. I mean, you know, I think that against the run, I felt like I can't wait to go back and watch the coach's copy. I just felt like the combination box weren't clean. You know, there were too many times where they ran right into the safety. You had a blitzing linebacker coming free, or the combination. They just weren't getting to the second level the way they need to. Because a lot of people don't understand. Most run plays are designed to get the running back to the safety.
Right, but you got a good defensive lineup across from you that's not letting those guys climb. I mean, that's one of the signs of having a good defensive front. And we knew going into this, Pittsburgh was definitely not a slouch up front. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they were ranked pretty high against the run, and that's because they eat up all those offensive linemen with their three-down linemen, and they allow the backers to shoot and make plays and allow the safety to come up in the hole and fill and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's just – dude, you know what that is. That's just drilling that shit, fucking hacking that arm off of you when they're trying to grab you, spinning out of it, getting to the second level. Like, you got to get creative. And bro, how are you going to get creative with four guys that are out there that ain't ever played the game at this level. You know what I mean? Like, they – that's tough.
Yeah, and you know, I think also when you look at how Coach Stout teaches the flipper, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he likes to come in and he wants to throw that flipper with your off arm. So does that hinder you a little bit when you're trying to get up to that second level if you have – because, you know, Juan would always teach that stab. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he would stab with the inside hand, and that would kind of create that space, would open the shoulder up. So now that just – so now the tackle can get in there and get the cut or get in there on the combination. But if you're working flipper, that makes it a lot easier for the defenders to grab you and keep you from going to the second level.
Yeah, I also think there's a place for the flipper. There is, like, you know, you create some movement. You can peel a guy open real quick with the flipper. But as far as trying to, like, step into, like, a four-eye or a four or something like that with a flipper, that's just not going to get it done. You got to keep your distance at that point that he's already given you. Like you're saying, you know, you got to have both of your tools in your bag.
But I was
saying, bro, they're all young as shit. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to fill tools in their bag right now. It's not like they have multiple yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you got to approach each game. I think you have to approach each game with a different type of game plan. If you know that this is what this defense is going to be giving you, then maybe you should change it up. And that's something that could be drilled throughout the week if you know that that's what you're going to be getting.
Right.
So here's the real question that I want to ask you guys, because we've had a couple of days now. Have we listened to all Against All Odds?
Oh, man, my bad. I didn't. I'm sorry. I heard about it, and you know, last week when we talked about it,
I read the reviews, didn't you, Jack? You read the reviews, didn't you?
I thought y'all was bullshitting. Like, I ain't peep it. You know, I thought, is it just a track or is it a whole album?
Oh, it's a whole album.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's not just a track. It's a whole.
Well, I dropped the car off to the shop today, so I ain't really going nowhere. So I'm gonna check it out today.
Give it a hear, man. Check it out. See what you
say. I'm quite sure they bumping that bitch now that the Lakers won last night. You know, so
maybe.
Getting some heavy. Maybe. Oh man. No. They jamming Against All Odds, man.
Okay. You know? All right. Hopefully.
They got to. Did you hear Todd?
I've heard some songs, yes. I haven't listened to it front to back yet.
Okay. And your thoughts? All right.
At some point, we're going to have to get everybody to kind of listen to it so that we can get
Next week, I guarantee you, next show, I'll have it. You know, I'll probably even know some of the choruses or whatnot.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So, you know, let's move it on through the game, man. I felt like Carson made some better throws in this game. You know, he wasn't gun shy. You know, he delivered the ball a lot better in this game. What did y'all see from that?
Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I think for the most part, he's one of those guys that he needs to be the focal point. Like, he needs to be the alpha male on the field in order for, I guess, him to play at an elite level. You know, it's like, you know, I got all these young guys. I need to bring them along with me instead of them helping me, you know. And that's what I think he plays best when, you know, the odds are against them. And, like, yesterday, watching that game, you know, even from the first half when I want to say it was like 14-14, in my mind, I was like, man, they might pull this one off because offensively – these guys came to play. You know, it didn't look great. He still had a couple errant throws, but for the most part, he found him a reliable target in the dude, Travis Fulgham, who said, fuck us last week. I'm here to stay. You know what I'm saying? You get 10 catches for 152, and you're leading the team in catches and yards, and you only been on the team for a week and a half?
Yeah.
Like, hey, man.
Some job security, bro. That's right there.
Like some of those guys that are that's on the slab, they might not have no reps when they come back. Like, I know Alshon and D-Jack, they're veterans, but if Carson is getting it done with the younger guys with younger legs and not that many miles on his body, you know, why not keep that progression going with these guys? I see no reason why they should take him or the kid Ward out. Even though, you know, Ward, he's gonna get open. He don't have elite speed, but they're reliable, and that's what Carson needs. Somebody that's reliable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like watching the relationship develop, the trust develop between Carson and the younger players. It's almost like the younger players go into it with no expectations, as to where, like, the vets kind of have a little more expectations. And I don't know if that weighs heavier on Carson, you know what I mean? Because I do feel like he's playing better. He's getting a better relationship, better timing with his younger receivers and stuff. But, dude, one of the biggest concerns for me right now is, like, he's at a career high for picks at this point in the season already.
Yeah.
I mean, the turnovers got to stop. You're not going to win games when you're turning the ball over, you know? So
yeah, he's a renegade out there.
Yeah.
I know. I appreciate his style. He's trying to make things happen, but you got to take care of the ball, though. History shows all the stat lines with turnovers and takeaways. It just leads to victory.
Yeah. Especially on the one particular, on his first interception, I felt like, you know, Ertz got knocked off his route, you know, and I think Carson made the right, maybe he could have gone to Miles Sanders on that one, because you had Miles coming out of the backfield to the left right there, but instead he decided to go ahead and try to hit Ertz. Ertz got knocked off his route. I think that Carson, the throw that he was trying to make would have hit Ertz in the right spot. But, you know, with Ertz getting knocked off his route, then there you go. That's an interception. And then you go back and you look at Ertz was targeted 6 times. He only had 1 catch in this game.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's something you got to look into, man. You know, all the talks are earlier in the season about his contract. And, you know, I guess his successor is on IR. So it's like, damn, I want a new deal. The guy that's supposed to be the up-and-coming guy behind me, he's hurt, and I'm still out here, you know, busting it for this team. But ever since then, the whole Dallas Goedert is the tight end of the future, Ertz has been, like, non-existent. Like,
yeah.
I think the most catches he had in a game was, what, 5, 4, if that? Mm-hmm. Whereas last year and the years prior to, it was 8, 9 catches a game. He was the go-to target when they had, like, you know, like lesser talent at receiver. So I think
everybody was jocking him. He's one of those guys. I feel like he feeds into, like, he needs to be the guy.
He needs to be the man. Yeah.
He needs to have everybody talking about how he's the greatest weapon on this team and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that goes well for the ego when you got the next coming in the locker room. You know what I mean?
It does not, man. It's just he's not playing like the Zach Ertz of old. Like, you know, even in the beginning of the season when he was, you know, I guess complaining about his contract extension, we still didn't see that burst. We didn't see that I'm getting 5 catches, 1 drive. I'm, you know, getting a little bit of yards after the catch because, you know, he wasn't known for that, but he was always sure-handed. I believe, like, 2 or 3 passes to him this year has resulted into picks. He used to be all reliable. Now you can't even go to him. You got to, you know, go to guys like Fulgham and, you know, Ward and, you know, even in some instances, J.J. Ortega. So, you know, I just think his head is something wrong up there as far as, you know, him thinking about his contract and where he's going to be years down the road. You know,
yeah, but also in his favor, they got to be paying a lot more attention to him if he's like the lone soldier out there that's a known weapon for the Eagles. You know what I mean? Like,
but he was a lone soldier. He was a lone soldier last year, and he led the team in catches.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Good point. It's Jack. Like, good point.
He's like, damn, man.
You got me.
I'm not doing the spleen thing no more. I'm not doing that. So, Ertz, yeah, man, say what you want, man. That contract is bothering him because the play is totally different. And, you know, for a guy that kind of knows that he's not going to be here next year, you should be, like, balling out, you know, putting on a display for the other 31 teams. Dude, 1 catch?
Yeah.
That doesn't bode very well for your future.
Yeah. Now, tell me this. Do you think, because I was asked this question yesterday, do you think this is we're seeing the end of Ertz's era with the team this year?
I mean, without them, well, when they broke off contract talks and it became like an insult with the offer that they gave him, oh yeah, the writing.
Yeah.
If it ain't on the wall, it's spray painted on that bitch now.
Like, So everybody needs to start prepping themselves for it. Hey, man.
It's to the point now where, you know, he's finding comfort and reliability in the new guys, the younger guys. Because every time he's been on the earth this year, it's either incomplete pass or interception.
Yeah.
You know, go back and look at the film, man. He has 8 picks. 3 of them was to Ertz.
Yeah, that's tough. That is tough, man. So, but you know what, though? Like you said earlier, I think we got a weapon in Fulgham. I think that he's really going to be someone that we can depend on. He came out of nowhere. You know, one of the things I saw is that he catches the ball with his hands. He's pretty solid out there. I mean, he made some tough catches, were contested. So now we get to a situation now, and we're getting later on in the game where, you know, it's 3rd and 5. We need to get the first down. It is 50-some yards for a field goal. It's 3rd and 5. Everybody in this stadium know that we're trying to go to Fulgham. And what do? We go to Fulgham. And, you know, and of course the Steelers, they go out there, they defend it well. It's incompletion. So now, you know, it's decision time. Do you go for it or do you kick a 57-yard field goal? What would you guys would have done?
Man, in that situation, I thought Doug kind of I thought he wasn't as big ballsy as he normally would be.
Right. You know, he used to have to carry them things around in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
Hell, man. You know, now it's a little light. Hey, man, it's kind of empty down there. So like he make more no more. Right. Hey man, you do enough book signings and book tours. Hey man, you know.
Yeah.
Hey. He shot his wire early.
You're saying it's
tricky. Yeah, man. So you know, I'm in that situation, I would have you know, the way the defense was giving up the ghost, like I would have went for it.
Yeah.
Like 57 yards, I mean, I'm quite sure you got confidence in your kicker or whatnot. I mean, he had enough leg, but he just didn't have enough accuracy. I mean, had he lined it up correctly, he would have made it by at least 5 yards because it looked like it had enough leg. But, you know, up there, you know, it's kind of hard with the winds and the water being right there. So it's kind of hard to judge, you know. But in that situation, man, that was one of those things where Doug would have normally – he would have gone for it. But I think with the lack of linemen he had out there, just took the safe route.
Yeah. I'm going for it.
You going for it? Yeah.
Man, you already showed us you ain't got that much confidence in your kicker.
Yeah, you made that decision a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah.
I mean, I'll just go for it.
That and the fact that – the damn defense, dude. It was touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown. They scored on like 7 straight drives.
Oh yeah.
I'm going there too. Like fuck it.
it was an exciting game. It was very exciting.
Yeah, it was high score.
Yeah, it was high score, man. Because I, you know what, going into this game, I felt like, you know what, we're gonna have the fans. I kind of did a little pregame show, so I inside the Birds. So I'm like, hey, man, we're going to have some fans there. I feel like, you know what, we're going to do it. We're going to pull this game together. But then when I left, I went home and got on my my gambling app, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take the Steelers. So, you know.
you forgot they were Steelers fans.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and take the Steelers on this one because, I mean, you know, I don't know how I really feel. You know, I guess reality really set in. And I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and put my money on this one right here because I don't feel like our defense is going to be able to hold up to this passing attack that the Steelers have. And I mean, you know, and sure enough, here we go. Now going into this game, you knew that the Steelers were light at offensive line as well. They were missing some of their offensive linemen. But, you know, this was supposed to be a battle between who's going to be number one at getting after the quarterback, you know, who is defensive front. It's going to be the number one sack leader coming out of this game. We only generate 1 sack, only 5 quarterback hits, I believe. But, you know, no, only 2 quarterback hits. We only generated one sack and two quarterback hits the entire game. And we were number one. We came into this game with 17 sacks, 45 quarterback hits. Pittsburgh had 15 sacks, 39 quarterback hits. Man, they just shot past us real quick. Like, all right, yeah, now we off and running.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens. You have an elusive quarterback like that. You're not going to be able to touch him once you get past back there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to kind of look at the first couple of opponents. I mean, Washington should have had a field day on the line against them. The Rams, they didn't touch Jared Goff. Then you got the Bengals, and who else was in there? San Fran, and then this past week. So, you know, I want to say the best offensive line they went up against was the Rams, you know, because of all of the misdirection and play pass.
Yeah, but then now the Steelers have proved themselves. I think that Big Ben did a good job of getting rid of the ball extremely quick, you know. And now one of the things that I noticed when you look at the defensive side of the ball, because I just went back and watched the game again, and, you know, they played a lot of dime, a lot of nickel, you know, just because, I mean, you know, the Steelers were coming in there and just spreading everybody out with all these wide outs and everything. And you know, and they just put our defense in some bad situations. And they did not shy away from going after Slay. You know, there were several times that they said, all right, you know what, we're going after you. And Slay ended up coming out of there with two pass interference.
Yeah, I mean, I think we put too much onus on the term shut down corner. I mean, it was a good player. Mm-hmm. But you can't expect him – to like blanket the other team's receiver over every week. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you need help. You know, I understand they paid him a lot of money in the offseason, but hey, put a safety back there. I mean, it's not like Pittsburgh ran the ball very well. You know, they were throwing the ball the whole game. Yeah. You know, to the rookie Claypool and whatnot. And, you know, to have a linebacker lined up against this guy in the pivotal point of the game, and you know, it's just a direct reflection of the defensive coordinator and what kind of scheme that he's playing. Like, you know, one week he's like, man, he's attacking the 49ers. They're getting after the quarterback. And then next week he's like sitting back in the coverage. Why?
Yeah.
Or not playing enough coverage. You know, like, these guys are good. Yeah, the guys on the other side, they get paid too. You know, I just think, you know, in that situation, the defensive coordinator and the scheme kind of let them down this week.
I just think this was like a case of Ben just being smarter than the defense. He looked like somebody's uncle that's playing like the turkey bowl out in the yard, and he understands like scheme and matchups, and he's just out there throwing it to everybody that is just the biggest mismatches, and he's just picking everybody apart. That's Ben just looked too comfortable for me. I think you needed to do something to make him, you know, a little more uncomfortable, but I don't know what it was.
And when you look at this defense, they get after the younger quarterbacks, the seasoned vets, or some quarterbacks that got some years on them, Jared Goff, Big Ben.
Yeah. And,
you know, like, I think his Jim Schwartz's defense is built to confuse, like, the younger, inexperienced type quarterbacks, because when they face the ones that knew what they were doing, I mean, they barely sniffed the quarterback. So, you know, that's just something they're going to have to tighten up. Hell, Rodney McLeod even said it. It's not ideal that you want a linebacker or the receiver that's just raping us all day. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
But McLeod should have been there. He knew. I mean,
hey, man.
You look at this, it's dying. McLeod was to the side. Why not adjust the coverage to help him?
What you want. This is why they miss Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah.
Like you need somebody back to quarterback them. Well, yeah. Like, okay, if a call comes in from the sideline and you look at the formation, man, in five wide. Hey, man, we need to switch something up. Somebody needs to get double on the inside. Like, make an adjustment. And that's what they rarely have done this year, seeing, you know, how the defense has been playing.
Man, because, I mean, when you go back and you look at that play, man, Big Ben looked at that and he was like, uh-oh. Oh, that's what y'all gonna give me? Hey, you saw him step up and like, hey, give me the tricky shit. Give me the tricky shit. And then, bam, I mean, lit him up. And McLeod was not even close to him to be able to help him out. To me, it just seems like they knew that this defense is always constantly out of position and not ready to make plays. And that's just what I see from this group. It seems like you have a group of guys that They want to look busy. They want to run around and run into guys and move around, but you're not in position to make plays.
Yeah, I just think that is that because they're young and inexperienced, the motions and the shifts and everything are getting everybody all discombobulated and confused? Like, what is that?
You go back and you look at the jet sweep, the touchdown that was down in the end zone. Yeah, and they had that wasn't even the jet sweep. You had the one where they just threw the little hitch right out there to Claypool or whatever his name is. And then, Claypool. And yeah. How Barry, the tight end was blocking him, and he spent back inside instead of trying to get outside. You know, where you want to force him back into the cavalry. No, he tries to spin inside, gives up the sideline. There you go. Touchdown, Nate Gary.
And that's the confusing part to me about this defense. Isn't it like kind of like a wide nine type defense? Wasn't that like his base?
Sometimes you had the guys, they were down. You know, there wasn't always a wide nine, but it's just –
But Jack, you're talking about Schwartz is like a wide nine, get after it kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
He seems to have adjusted some. He's adjusted.
I only say that to say, if that's the case, then why are the defensive ends, they're constantly getting, reached and giving up leverage on the outside? You know, it happened back in the Rams game. All the play passes, all the defensive linemen, ends, they kept getting sucked inside. And that's still haunting them to this day. The jet sweeps, it seems like every team that's done a jet sweep on this team got positive yards. I haven't seen a jet sweep yet. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, that's just a testament to, the undisciplinedness of the D-line, or whatever scheme that's being called on that particular play. Like, you got to notice when they're running motion, and the quarterback snaps the ball before he gets to the tackle, it's a jet sweep.
Yeah.
How can you miss that week in and week out? But I don't know.
Jet sweeps, reverses, and screens have killed this defense. They don't handle it well at all, especially the screen game. They don't handle it well at all. Because everybody was up in arms about, the one particular play where it was – you know what? Since I have you guys here, can we please walk through the mechanics of a damn screenplay? Please. Because I think people, why can't we run screens well versus other teams? You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody else sets up the screens like it's no tomorrow. So you guys would get out on the routes and get out there and block the screenplay. So could you please walk us through the mechanics of a screenplay?
All right, Todd, you're out first.
there's a lot of mechanics here. First of all, I was very good at screenplays because one of the first things to running a successful screen is being able to get beat.
Right. Mm-hmm. You got to get beat first.
So, but you can't make it look like you got beat.
But comes naturally to me. So getting beat, step one, get beat. Step two. Figure out if you're the first one to get beat, because if your center gets beat before you, he's gonna get out before you. If you get beat before your center, you get out before him. Mm-hmm. Step three: get to the goddamn sidewalk. You gotta get out to the sidewalk. And this is indicative of where the ball is on the field, whether it's in the center, on the hash, on the right hash. It's usually, if it's on the right hash, your sidewalk is the numbers. Move it in, adjust appropriately. And once you get out the sidewalk, you guys just have to – the first guy out there usually has to look outside in, make sure you're not getting killed from the outside. Second guy has to look for that linebacker coming and seal him. And then if you can get your backside guard out, well, one of them has to watch for garbage, but then turn up, and hopefully you're leading down the sidewalk for a touchdown. But, it's something that's not natural. You know what I mean? We used to drill that shit always about getting out of the sidewalk, getting your distance relationship from where the ball was to getting properly in front of where the running back's going to get it and set up. And I just don't know if they've had enough time to do that. I'm sure that they think there's more important parts of the game that they spend time on, but it's something you got to drill, man. And it's something that you kind of got to drill full speed. You guys remember we used to do it with the cut drill too, and
definitely
it wasn't fun, but shit, we used to have to do that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's definitely a timing thing.
One more thing. I just feel like the timing of screen calls is an art to itself. You can't just call a screen and expect it to work. You know what I mean? It has to be set up. It has to be timely set up. You have to be able to throw in fake screens in there and stuff like that to keep the defense on their heels. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on the screen. But Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the same, but it's like like you said, it is an art to it. Like over the years, you know, when we done the shit so much, it was just like, all right, I can freestyle this bitch a little bit, you know, like I'm going to sell it. Like I'm really trying to block this guy. Like I'm going to engage and I want to lose him like to the side that I want him to go to. So if it's like half black soap screen left, I'm going to oversetting like hell to the left so he can beat me inside. After those two steps, then I'm throwing him inside like, yeah, okay, you won, I'm out. You know, like that was my rule to it. Just like engage the guy like you're really trying to block him. Like for that 2 seconds, like overset him. So he's like, oh man, he giving up the inside. 2 seconds, bam, throw his ass inside and get on out. You know, but it also has to be, the timing has to be correct for the back as well. They got to set up like they're a personal protector as well. So as soon as you throw the guy inside, they got to be ready for the, you know, for the screen pass. And I just think far too often when they do it, it's more or less 1,000 go. Like they're like in a rush to do the screen. And then the quarterback get hit. He still throws the ball, but he takes a shot. In the event, for him to not take a shot, you got to really, that 1,000, you got to really get out late and let them, like, kind of, like, invite them upfield.
Yeah.
But you also got to take a little time to get your receivers to run guys off and get them downfield. You know what I mean? Get their backs turned to the play and stuff like that. So you can't just go. It can't be so fast like that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you could even give some, like, a verbal, you're trying to lose, you give a little, oh shit. Oh,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The drama that comes into it, you know.
Yeah.
Mean?
Yeah.
Oh man, that was a good move.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now let's, like, because I want people to understand when we're talking about, okay, if it's at the left edge, let's say if we're running a screen to the right and we're talking left edge. All right. Well, you know what? Let's stick to our side. All right. So let's say we're on the right hash and we want to run a screen to the left. Okay. So I know I'm just setting back. I'm just trying to run the end upfield. But Todd, you're going to go 1,001, 1,002. Let's say we're on the right hash and you're the first one out. You're trying to get to the top of the numbers?
I'm trying to get just inside the numbers. We're on the right hash.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get inside the numbers, probably like 2 or 3 yards inside the numbers. We're not trying to get way over to the field.
Yeah.
So if we were on the left hash, I'd be getting to the bottom of the numbers, like bottom of the numbers. And then if we were in the center of the field, more like top of the numbers. You know what I mean? So that's kind of an approximation of where I'm going. But first things first, you got to get out there and see if there's anybody screaming off the edge. So a lot of times it ends up being like a kickout block.
A kickout, right.
Yeah.
Or you end up having to cut that guy. You know, a nice little cross body block we used to practice on the bags.
That was always fun when we were watered down the big cut bag. And then, you know, man, we come out there and just go dive on the bag and go cut the bags and stuff. But
But my thing in screens was, I'm like, dude, I hope they're in man. Because if they're in man, you don't have to do much. Just go get them. Just go get them. But when they're in zone, then you got to go through the progression of two yards outside the numbers, 2 yards inside the numbers, the alley. Right. You got to do all that stuff when they're in zone. So, you know, you want to catch them in man to man so you can just go get the guy.
Right. You just go get the backer that's on, that's got the back.
But yeah, that's just one of the things that I see that we don't do it well as a team, just on our side of the ball, and we don't handle it well defensively either. Just because I think that our defensive line is so, I want to go get this sack, and then they're like, oh damn, here comes the screen, and we're off and running. You know,
Discipline, man.
Yeah, that discipline, and I think that our offense, they don't cut when they run the screen. They don't cut block. Yeah, so they try to stay up. For whatever reason, when you're telling the running back which way to go when you stay up, instead of just going out and just taking the knees out, and then you make the defensive player make a decision, knees or tackle, which one you want.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. You don't see how Big Red used to say big bodies downfield often.
Big bodies downfield.
You see big bodies running, but they missing some people. You know, you gotta throw and lay out. Even if you also miss them, it creates a combo. It creates an alley. Mm-hmm.
You also got to keep your head on a swivel because they will cut you.
Exactly. Oh yeah.
They will cut you, exactly. And that will hurt.
Yeah. I think Jordan Mailata learned that last week when he came out there on it. I think it was a 39 toss crack, and he went out there to one of the corners, and the corner went head on. It was like, I'm not taking your big ass on.
Oh, yeah, get him the business.
Yeah, and took those knees right on that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that ain't happening,
I mean,
man.
Sometimes that's the play for the defender to make is just go cut it up and make a big pile. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yep, and that's what they did. They created a big pile. And then there you go. I think it ended up being a 3-4 yard game. But yeah, Jordan just learned a very valuable lesson on that. The DBs aren't going to take you on.
Yeah, no. They trying to cause that power, like Todd said, man. And uh-huh. I think for the most part, you know, in that situation, when you know you're going after a DB, you just got to just go throw at him. Like, even if he goes low, just dive on him. You know?
Yeah, make yourself as big as possible.
Right? Yeah. Expand.
Expand.
Oh, like the old cut and roll drill. Like, throw your body in a roll, right?
Cut and roll.
Well, I don't think you can gator roll anymore. I don't think you're allowed to roll.
Oh, they're called clipping, right?
So they call something weird. I don't know.
I don't think
you're allowed to roll.
But it's all you got to do is shoot at those knees, though.
Yeah, there
you go.
All you got to get them to do is protect themselves quickly. We ain't even get them on the ground.
That's it. All you want them to do is like, oh, you know, try to protect those knees. And then we off and running, man. But yeah, wow, that's good. So now we have Baltimore coming up, and
Hey, man. I mean, should we just skip to the bye week?
No, because you got New York after that. So,
yeah. Like I said, should we just skip to the bye week? Like, New York is awful, man. New York is terrible. I know they lost to Dallas yesterday, but that's they're not going anywhere. And this Baltimore game, man, I don't know, man. It's kind of depressing because you know they're going to run the ball. Yeah. You know, that's their thing, which – I think defensively, the Birds have been pretty good at stopping the run, but they haven't been great at stopping a running quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, they're good at stopping the handoff and, you know,
y'all
in the cloud of dust. But when you got a read option, like, because Russell Wilson killed us with it last year.
Yeah.
And now you got this guy coming in, you know what I'm saying, my little cousin.
Yeah.
That's all he do.
Yeah.
He's gonna get 20 carries at least. Yeah. So, man, they gotta be. It's they gonna need some discipline in football. And then offensively, hey man, the Ravens have always had a good defense. Always.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a season that they didn't have a great defense, or at least like a top 10 defense.
They're systematically a good defense.
Right. Like, I don't. And it doesn't even have to do with like. The players that they get, it's like the schemes that they run. It's always solid. Like every year, you're going to get a solid scheme out of the Ravens, no matter what.
And they've always been a 3-4 front. I don't know if that's still their thing now, but you know, here we go. Another.
I know, man. You know what, though? It should be an exciting game again, right? Hey, do we got some fans going to this game?
Yeah, we're going to have fans.
I believe so.
How many are they allowing in? How many are they allowing
I don't know, maybe five or six.
Five, 6 grand, yeah. How many was at the Steelers game, like 5,500 or something?
Enough to make a nice light rumble.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be a little cheer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it could be a loud roar.
we still see
it. Hey, as long as the boos are natural and they're not flipping the switch and creating boos, it'll be okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Long as the boos are natural, you know, don't come in piping in fake boos on us, man.
Bro, they're only booing the offense. The offense gonna be right this week. Like, I believe, you know, with the game that they did this past week, they gotta be positive. I thought. Going into the Pittsburgh game, you know, they were going to get smoked out, like, from the jump. And they made it a game for 3.5 quarters. Like, the defense didn't hold up there in the end of the bargain. And you know how it is offensively. it takes time, it takes chemistry, it takes working with the guy next to you. So, you know, that gives Herbig, Matt Pryor, Mailata, that gives them more reps with the same guys. So, you know, hopefully they can, you know, muster up the same performance. It's just, you know, defensively, they got to slow down number 8.
Okay. All right. Confidence levels are high.
It's high, man. It's high. Yeah.
All right.
Well, because the defense got killed on getting thrown at. Like, Lamar Jackson is not an elite passer. He's only trying to hit the tight end and probably the one dude, Hollywood Brown, like, streaking down the sideline, so to speak. But other than that, you know, they're a run-oriented offense, and they like to hit the tight ends. It shouldn't be too hard. Yeah, I say that, but
okay.
I say that. I just say it shouldn't be, but we all know. So, you know, I'm looking at a win this week. I'm looking at a win, definitely.
Wow. All right.
Cool. Yeah, man. Ooh, yeah, man. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
There we go.
Yeah,
so
man.
Wait,
hey,
wait.
Man.
Does that mean we're gonna reclaim? Does that mean we're gonna reclaim the lead of the East?
I mean, probably so. I mean, with the tie and the one win, we was like number one, and Dallas wins yesterday. So, we'll see. I like that chances this week because you can't. Like, I mean, somehow, some way, like, you have to put together a team victory. Like, can I get some positive yards on special teams? Like, can I get one return for like 30 yards, 40 yards?
Okay.
I don't know if you can get some positive yards on special teams against Harbaugh.
Yeah, this is true.
This would be tough, bro.
Yeah.
But those are the unexpected yards. You know, they might surprise us, and you know, D. Jack might play this week. They said he was close. So,
yeah,
against all odds.
All right, cool. Confidence levels are high. All right, man. It's gonna be exciting. Yeah,
I like the way this team is going forward as far as offensively, defensively. I mean, that's another story. You know, I'm not too confident in the schemes that they're running. I mean, the players that they have out there is really not that bad. Although your guy,
who the?
Your guy, you know who your guy is.
Who the?
The dude with the green hair.
The goblin.
Oh, yeah.
And the goblin got gobbled up yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave it to him, man.
Yeah.
Like, damn, dog. Like, if you gonna play man to man, can I get a jam? Put a hand on
it. It is goblin season.
Put a hand on receiver.
Yeah. Hey, dog. It's goblin season, man. It's goblin season.
Goblin season.
I mean, you know what, though? He did make a tackle. He got up and he flexed.
Yeah, bro.
That's what I do.
He
got up and flexed, dog. You know, he even got Slay around there flexing now, man. They got Slay flexing now, man.
Yeah, don't bring that weak shit around here.
You know, if after play celebrations meant it was a negative yard, then go for it. I mean, negative play, go for it. I mean, come on, dog. You're wasting the good shit for when you do good things. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. The good shit is still in store, Jack. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's coming. It's building up.
Buddy flexes like he got 22-inch like biceps, and he can bench 900 pounds. Like, damn, dude, I love the confidence.
Hey, man. The visual is just not—it's
not representative of the play.
Confidence levels are high, though, man. The confidence levels are high, Jack.
Yeah. When they take a still shot of it, you never know what the play was, bro. Yeah. Killing it on the IG, I'm sure.
Because you don't know if it was a first down touchdown or what. Yeah, I don't know.
All sorts of great picks, bro.
Oh, yeah. Great picks. Great picks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is when I hit him for that 5-yard TFL.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man.
It's called the power of the caption. The power of the caption.
Yeah, his gallery is out.
The power of the caption.
Yeah. It's nice to see with all the little armbands and all that now. So it's
the Instagram photos gotta be fire.
Yeah.
I mean, he got some steals, boy, I'm telling you. Like, they're looking good, boy. Cause like when you can flex and get different angles,
bro,
and get beat and still flex, like, come on, dog. Like,
oh man,
Instagram gallery on fire.
You're gonna have some killer fat heads.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
Wow. Head's on fire.
but that's my guy, man. The Goblin, man, he brings the energy. We need a Goblin on offense. Goblin's like, we need somebody that brings the energy on offense.
Yeah, I think Fulgham.
It ain't working out for Buddy.
Fulgham's the guy.
I think Fulgham's going to be the guy, man.
He said, this is what I do. Just keep throwing me the ball.
Just throw me the damn ball. That's all I do is make plays.
Hey, you know, it's funny how, you know, he has, like, this the quarterback has, like, this symbiotic relationship with this receiver that's been here a week and a half. Like when you see him throw the ball to Travis Fulgham, it's right in the bread basket. It's right between the one and the three. It's right in his hands. Mm-hmm. He goes to hit somebody else, and it's like they got to make an acrobatic catch or an impossible catch, or they got to jump fucking a 44-inch vertical to get the ball. I don't understand that. I don't understand
it
at all.
Dog, I told you. It's about expectations.
Yeah.
Fulgham ain't got no expectations. He just wants the rock, bro. He just wants the rock.
He expands.
Hey, now, there might be some other people that are expecting to not go across the middle, to not get hung up across the middle.
I feel you on that.
Man, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That all plays into it, man.
You are right about that. I forgot. The first three weeks, he was hanging cats out, boy.
Looking ugly.
That noise. I ain't reaching out for that.
Yeah. They got
like, man, we still in the –
We're going short arms quick.
The pre-COVID protocol.
Get them short arms quick.
Yeah, I
don't know if we're going to finish the season, so I'm going to just short arm this.
Yeah.
COVID's still out there. I don't want to get fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Dude, he was hanging cats out, boy.
Yeah, man. But, shoot, man. It's all good, man. We're going to get ready for this Baltimore Ravens game. But, man, I appreciate y'all hanging out with me again today, man, fellas. It's always good to catch up with y'all and talk a little football. Welcome to another segment of Tales from the Blind Side. We'll see y'all on the other side.
All right.
Toodaloo, motherfucker. Hey.